fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. If you had a chance to tune into last week's program, all week long, we're talking with Dr. Phil Gigliotti about his personal story, his testimony. It's very inspiring story. But I asked Dr. Phil to join us again this week to talk about just some more follow-up from the testimony, but also some key themes and things the Lord's taught him about the journey as a disciple. Welcome back, Dr. Phil.
Well, thanks, Peter. Great to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
You ended the week last week talking about the difference encountering the Lord and meeting the Lord, the difference it made in your life, and when your faith came alive, really, the faith that really you began to receive as a child, but at a certain point you rejected it, you kept it on the shelf, you didn't pay any attention to it. The Lord brought you to the place where you came face to face with Him again, and that faith that you inherited wasn't just dogmatic knowledge, it became an encounter with Jesus, the person, the living Jesus Christ, and why the church exists made sense to you, and its mission all of a sudden came alive for you. And I know that one of the things the Lord has led you in and taught you is to really engage the mission of the church, the Great Commission, go make disciples.
Oh, yeah.
I want to just talk about that, that part, that dimension of your faith and the journey.
Well, you know what I think is really powerful about the Great Commission, and you see it in Matthew, and Jesus talks about it in the first chapter of Acts, just before the ascension. But, he tells them to go make disciples of all nations and to baptize them. In other words, they're going to go from there, and they're going to go to all nations. Now, in the Bible, nations usually means Gentiles. The word nations refers to Gentiles.
And so what are Gentiles?
Gentiles are non-Jews.
Okay.
Yeah. Jesus, of course, was a Jewish man who kept all the law, and his first followers were all Jews. In fact, the very early church was basically a messianic congregation in Jerusalem because all his followers were Jews for a while. And
it came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel is where he began, right?
Yes, the Jew first and then the Gentile. So when he's talking about you're going to go into the nations, these guys would have thought, wow, nations, how are we going to do that? We have to, we're Jews. We're not even allowed to hang around with Gentiles. But the interesting thing that struck me about this was that when he tells them that, now you have to imagine what these, 11, 12, the 12th one comes in, to replace Judas. But you have to understand these guys were not really very educated. They were, sort of normal working people. I mean, Judas probably was the smartest one of them before he killed himself. And Matthew was pretty smart because he was a tax collector. But, these guys were for the most part uneducated, simple people. And how are these guys going to spread this word? How are they going to spread this good news? Because Christianity is good news. The gospel is good news. And it's good news, I think, as we ended up Friday on the show, that we're saved by this grace through what Jesus did. And the good news is that we're not going to be totally subject to the law. Like Paul talks about how the Jews tried to be righteous by following the law, and they literally became slaves to the law. But now we're saved by grace, and it's this great gift through the sacrifice of Jesus. So how are we
really, the Paul does talk, doesn't he? At one place he said that the law really condemns us. The law, which was meant for good.
Yes.
Because the law ends up condemning us because the law reveals the true condition of our heart.
That's right.
The law is summarized in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
And that law, when we look at ourselves and say, do I love the Lord God with all my heart? Well, actually, I don't. I don't love anybody more than me.
That's right.
That sin-sick condition of the human heart is revealed by the law.
And so
the law, which is meant for good, ends up condemning us before God.
And, Paul talks about basically how it's like a mirror. You see yourself. Just like, in the temple where the priest had to wash, it was a mirror so he could see himself while he was washing. And the law is that too, because you say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I do all these things. And you read through the laws and you say, well, I haven't done this very well.
Yeah.
And so grace is the gift. I have a radio show in Cleveland called The Gift of Grace. Maybe I can promote it some more as we go on. It's really, when you think about this gift of salvation, this gift of grace, it's pretty overwhelming. because now you're not a slave to the law anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is why, you know, of course, the Pharisees were so, you know, they were never in a good mood because they were the, you know, they were the set apart ones. They were the holy guys. They got to, you know, they followed the law. Those guys over there didn't follow the law. So their prayer was, thank you, Lord, for not making me like that guy, you know?
Yeah.
And why does Jesus hang around with these losers?
Yeah.
You know, and whenever he's telling a story, like, for example, the prodigal son, you know, it says that the Pharisees, the Pharisees and scribes are muttering to each other.
Yeah.
The Greek word means they're muttering. It's like, what's he talking about? Why is he going through? Why is he talking to those people?
Yeah.
But the people who were the, quote, sinners,
yeah,
they were listening to the story because they wanted
he
to
provoked
hear, like,
wonder in everybody.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
A word that's often used.
Yeah,
there,
exactly.
Yeah.
And they wanted to know what he was all about.
Yeah.
Because they're the people, you know, everybody needs grace. The Pharisees didn't realize they needed grace. The common people did. And that's still true, you know, for the most part. Nothing ever changes. But getting back to the Great Commission, the awesome part of this was that when Jesus tells them that, he only tells them to do one thing. He doesn't say, look, you two guys go over there, you two guys go over there, you two guys go over there. Why don't we have a committee to talk about, you know, this, or have a committee to talk about that, or I've prepared some handouts for you. You know, this is how you start a new church. This is the music you're going to use. This is how you do a Bible study. And even though we don't have a New Testament yet, you know, here's some things you need to know about writing the New Testament. He doesn't do any of that. He only tells them one thing, and that's to wait for the Holy Spirit. The only instruction he gives them, don't leave the city, stay here, and because in a very few days, and I think it's interesting too that he says in a very few days, because they were used to learning about prophecies that were going to take place hundreds of years later, you know, scores of years later. The prophecies of, you know, those early prophets, you know, like 1,000 years went by.
Yeah.
But Jesus tells them in a very few days, the promise of my Father's coming, who, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And he tells them, don't leave the city until the Holy Spirit comes. In other words, the only thing you're going to need to do this great commission is the Holy Spirit's going to fall on you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always like to use Peter as an example. Not you, the other Peter.
Yeah.
St. Peter. I mean, here is this guy, you know, he's a fisherman. You know, you get this idea. He's like this strong guy. He's a little bit impetuous, you know, and he's always, you know, saying stuff. Oh, these other guys, they're not going to stand with you. But me, oh, I'll go in there. I'll die with you. And then, you know, 2 hours later, it was Jesus who? You know, yeah. I don't know any Jesus. Yeah. And, you know, but he was kind of this, like, man that everybody kind of, you know, you could identify with. And when Pentecost Sunday comes and the Holy Spirit falls on him, boy, does he change.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes from this upper room where he's kind of praying and hiding and, you know, I like to picture him. He's like looking out the door, wondering if anybody's going to be coming after them. And to all of a sudden, he's out in the street preaching about from Joel chapter 2. And I don't even know if the hour before that, he even knew what Joel chapter 2 was.
Yeah.
But he gives this amazing sermon and 3,000 people come into the church in the first 20 minutes. So the Holy Spirit is who empowers ministry.
So Great Commission really is a work of God.
Amen.
That the Spirit, the Holy Spirit given by the Lord is the first agent of the church's mission.
That's
really,
right.
Is the one who,
exactly.
who leads the church. And Jesus,
exactly.
Jesus is saying what needs to be produced in people,
right.
You simply don't have the resources to produce. You can't.
That's right.
You don't have the power. But what I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you what's mine, what belongs to me, what the Father has given. I have the authority. I have the power, and I'm going to give you my Spirit to help you speak that word
exactly.
in terms of the mission of the church, but also to remind you of everything I taught you.
That's right.
Right? The Lord's Supper, the you know, all the Lord taught them about what the church was and how to remember what he's done and all of that stuff
exactly.
to remember, but also to proclaim.
Exactly.
I think sometimes as Catholics we remember, but we don't proclaim very much. You
That's
know
right.
what I mean? It's a both and deal. It's not
That's
an
right.
either or. And I think I've seen that very much alive in your life and sharing the gospel.
And you can see that in St. Peter because he goes from that upper room. And I don't know if any of you have been there where the upper room is, you know, thought to have been.
Yeah.
But he goes out and because Pentecost is a Jewish feast day and it's a pilgrimage feast, so every Jewish man had to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. He had a ready-made audience. That's why the word tells us in the book of Acts, you know, how come we hear these guys speaking our language and then it lists all these places where these guys are from?
Yeah.
Because they're there because Pentecost is a pilgrimage feast. And so Peter's got a ready-made audience. Yeah. So he just preaches to these guys, and it says they're cut to the heart.
Yeah.
Because when the word's preached like that, it's a two-edged sword.
Yeah. What's the essence of the word that he preached that day? I mean, when the Spirit led him to give the first homily ever given by the first pope, you might say, what did the Spirit put on his lips? What was the word?
Well, first he tells them from Joel chapter 2, that's what you've seen here.
Right.
Because, you know, those guys say, oh, these guys are drunk.
Yeah.
That's all. They've had too much wine. And he goes, wait a minute, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So we even know, like, what time it happened. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, local time. 2 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
So first he says, you know, this is what you read in Joel chapter 2, which basically prophesies that the Spirit's going to come.
Yeah.
And the men are going to dream dreams, and people are going to prophesy. Yeah. And then he says, this Jesus whom you crucified is the one that God has made Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And you guys killed him.
Yeah.
And they're cut to the heart by that word.
Death could not hold him down, Peter says,
right? Hold him down.
And God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Right.
And he points out, and he talks about what David says in the Psalms about, you know, the Lord and why he calls him Lord, and it's his son, but he calls him Lord.
Yeah.
And then he says, we have David's tomb in our midst. Now, if you've been to the upper room, you know, David's tomb is like a stone's throw away.
Yeah, it is.
It's literally in the same building.
Yeah.
So when he says we have David's tomb in our midst, he's like, good point to it. But he says David's dead and he's in that tomb, but this Jesus whom you crucified is not in a tomb. And people were cut to the heart.
Yeah.
And people were converted, kind of in the same way I was talking about last week, and, you know, in my personal experience, was when you realize this messiahship of Jesus, that he's Lord and Savior. And, you know, we use the word Christ, which is from the Greek. Our word Messiah comes from the Hebrew, but it's the anointed one. He's the Savior and Lord. And when people heard him preach about this, they were radically converted. It says they were cut to the heart. It says, what do we have to do?
Yeah. The heart of what you hear from the glad tidings, what he proclaims, is the reality of what God has accomplished in Jesus, the facts of salvation, who Jesus is. He's now Lord, reigning at the right hand of the Father, one of us in human flesh, who's begun the new creation.
Yeah.
It's been born in him, and he's sharing that new creation with us right now.
Yeah.
He's going to pour out his Spirit, so he's going to give the possibility of repentance for sins, the possibility of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and entering eternal life.
Yeah.
This is the essence of the glad tidings of what the apostles preach, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's talk tomorrow. We've got just a few seconds today.
Yeah.
Let's talk tomorrow about concretely how that Great Commission has been expressed in your life.
Okay.
You know, and what it looks like even on a daily basis.
Okay.
In your life, you know?
That'd be great.
And I encourage your brothers and sisters to tune into the program tomorrow, because this is really why the church exists, to proclaim the gospel, the glad tidings of our Father, what's revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And the recent popes have reminded us that the church exists In order to evangelize, that this is her deepest identity. This is how we're called to live. The Master wants all of us to engage in the Great Commission. Join us tomorrow. And, Dr. Phil's got some very dynamic stories to share about how the Lord used him to share Christ with others and brought them to faith into the life of the church. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.